This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. President Trump's trial date has been set for the primary season.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We've got a little bit of breaking news here, and that is the judge in Florida. This is the indictment that came down by the special counsel involving the document case at Mar-a-Lago. That trial date has been set for May 20th, 2024. Now, that's 6 months before the election, after the Super Tuesday, but still during the primary season. So you've got at least the potential for a case to be heard in that time frame. Now, look, here's the reality of this. And, Logan, this is what people need to understand. These dates are very fungible. They move because motion practices are written. Now, she said on a motion schedule, but a lot of things can happen here.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting to say that this is now coming up upon when the trial would be. If you look at it right now, kind of right towards the middle, middle to the end of the primary season. So it was something that will loom. And then it will happen right in there, and I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of issues, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers feel that way. I'd love to hear what your thoughts about this, that we obviously have this breaking news that the trial date has been set for President Trump, and it happens to fall, surprise, surprise, right in the middle when everyone starts voting.
Yeah, and there's another aspect of this. Remember, that's just one case. So the New York case is scheduled, I think, initially for February or March, and then you've got a civil case, and then there could be, even today, this afternoon, at least there's some thought, that an indictment could be filed on the January 6th issue in the U.S. District Court, be filed in Washington, D.C., and that could be filed as early as today. The president was given an opportunity to appear before the grand jury, as my understanding is his lawyers wisely decided that was not a good idea, and he is that case could be filed as well. I cannot see conceive of a way, Logan, that goes to trial before the date of the election. Having said that,
the general election.
Yes, but let me just say this. If anybody's doubting if there's a concerted effort to distract or destroy the ability of Donald Trump from being either the nominee or the next president, you got the full force of the federal government against him here. I mean, just look at the nature of what this is. And then on top of that, you've got the Georgia case, they're saying could be indicted in the next 2 weeks, mostly likely in August.
And President Trump said that in his statement on Truth Social when the last indictment came through, or when the last letter came through, that it was happening, that he thinks Georgia would happen very soon. So yeah, it's definitely an ongoing process.
Three pending criminal cases, fourth if you include the New York case.
Yeah. So give us a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to have a pretty stacked show here today. Coming up in the next segment, obviously, we have two members, former members of the Trump cabinet back to back. So we have coming up next, Rick Grenell. If you want to get a call in or question even in for him as well, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. He's always happy to take your questions and comments on air. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And share this with your friends if you're watching on social media, as we are in not only the middle, we are in towards the end now of our matching challenge.
You know, it's interesting. And you go to ACLJ.org and donate any amount, and we get a match for that. And we appreciate that very much, ACLJ.org. We'll just point it out, our producer here. So the trial start date is scheduled for the Florida case involving the documents for May 20th. May 21st is the Oregon primary. June 4th is Montana, New Mexico, South Dakota. July 15th is the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And then early voting starts October 14th. So, you know, this is, like I said, I'm not quite sure that this actually does go to trial then, but you don't know. But there'll be a series of motions.
That's at least the point right now, and that's where the threat is.
I'd like to know what our folks are thinking about. How does this make you view the process and the former president? What does it solidify your support? Does it not? 1-800-684-3110 there, 800-684-3110. I'm holding in my hand a brief we filed against the administrative state, and that was to the Supreme Court in the United States. And folks, when you support the work of the ACLJ, this is the kind of work we do. There it is for those that are watching on our social media platforms. As Logan said, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Have your voice heard, but also support our work. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. So ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment. taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. They'll open up in a few minutes, so 1-800-684-3110. So we talked about the fact that the trial date's been set. We talked about the fact that the ACLJ's just filed a brief at the Supreme Court in the United States on the administrative state. The case is really does involve, it's called the Chevron Doctrine, this all this deference that goes to these administrative agencies, which ties into the whistleblower issue, which, by the way, we're getting a lot of calls from, and we're working with lawyers that have whistleblowers, including lawyers that had whistleblowers up yesterday. So we're working with them. There'll be more announcements about that in the next couple of days, hopefully next week. Rick Rennell, our senior advisor, on air with us. Rick, I want to go to you on this issue first, guys. I think this is important for people to understand. You had two whistleblowers yesterday, or the day before, and you had a both IRS, both long-term supervisors, good careers, long careers with the IRS. One of the individuals said that they had laid out, and they're both in the criminal division, they had laid out a comprehensive tax fraud case with felonies, which was what's missing in the Biden indictment. And both of them were stymied by, they say, the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is the Department of Justice. First of all, let's talk about these whistleblowers, because this is an important, it dovetails in with our government affairs practice, our government oversight practice, our FOIA litigation. But these whistleblowers, first of all, we have to say this, and you know it because you've worked with these people. These are brave people because they're putting their entire careers, literally, folks, I'm looking at the end game here trying to figure out how we help them long term. They're putting their entire careers on the line, or they already have.
Oh, there's no question. And I think for one of those individuals, he's a Democrat, and he's probably going to have no more promotions. This is a career-ending moment. But, you know, he's got to live with himself. He knows the truth. He's standing up for the truth. And look, I couldn't be more proud to be working with ACLJ, because we are the ones who dig deep on the legal cases and look at these whistleblowers to be able to say, hey, what is the legal truth here, and how do they get their voices heard, and how do we challenge the big regime government? So thank God we have these incredible lawyers at the ACLJ. I'm ecstatic to be a part of this, and you don't get this in any other organization. So keep up the good work.
You know, we're working with friends of ours, and Empowerment is the name of their organization. These are a couple of lawyers that came off the Hill with a lot of experience on issues, by the way, of whistleblowers and oversight. One worked for Senator Grassley. I mean, I think they both actually had worked for Senator Grassley at some point. They raised a really interesting question. We were on a conference call today talking about this, because there's a lot of cases here, Rick. Many of them have nothing to do with Hunter Biden, but they're atrocious, including cases involving child sex trafficking and a whistleblower FBI agent who's also a lawyer. I'm not going to go into the details on this. And they blew off the case because of political connections. And again, this had nothing to do with Hunter Biden. It's just, this is outrageous. But these people are speaking out. But there is a sense right now, and we're taking your calls on this, folks, at 800-684-3110. If you go to the Donald Trump side of this, right, you look at it right now, you've got a New York indictment, which I think is going to get booted out on appeal, but it's still a case. You've got the Mar-a-Lago case, which they, you know, miraculously bring against Trump. They don't bring against Biden, who's got the same issues legally. Then you have, and this is also, you know, we could have today, they could be filing another indictment in D.C. on the January 6th issues. And then there is, of course, the Georgia issue, which may well be, and this one is going to be some state RICO claim that no one's going to understand when it comes out, in my view. I know, but you can't ignore the fact that the deep state, and not so deep, I mean, you're scratching the surface here. This government, this administration is trying to take this guy. You know, folks, you may like Donald Trump, you may not like Donald Trump, but let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want political enemies going after the other political party, especially the guy that's leading in. It just isn't right. It's not right if he was third in the polls either. But the intensity of this has picked up dramatically, I would say, in the last 30 days.
Look, the Washington, D.C. crowd is absolutely adamant that they don't want Donald Trump coming back and trying to reform them. They saw what he did before. He challenged everything about them. And so they're striking back. But I think something has happened, Jay. I think they've overplayed their hand. Outside of Washington, D.C., when you talk to normal normal people. Common sense tells normal people that this is way too much, that they've gone after them in every possible way. They're dredging up everything. I think that there's one thing that we can say, though. This is the most scrutinized man in the history of the world, and they don't got anything. They literally are coming up empty time after time. They're stretching the law. They're manipulating the law. They're weaponizing the law. And people see it. Common sense outside of Washington, D.C. tells you they don't want this guy coming back to Washington for some reason. And the American public is saying, what is that reason? Maybe I need to get behind him. I know people that don't even love Donald Trump that are saying, well, now's the time to support Donald Trump. I'm going to send him a little money.
You've seen the numbers rise. I mean, that's just pure fact right now. You've seen the numbers rise for President Trump. And I think that that is an interesting indication of where the American people are, because I don't know if anyone really thought that. I mean, some people did. But the media certainly didn't think that these kind of charges, if you will, would actually kind of backfire on them. What that also shows is a fundamental misunderstanding of who the conservative voter is. Yes. And they think that this is going to do something 100%. To deter people. The problem is we've all been kind of told the last few years, this is what's going to happen. And guess what? Now it's happening. Yep. So who do you start believing? The main thing you got to focus on and look at, though, is to make sure our people who are listening to this broadcast don't see all this stuff happening and just get deterred to the point where they go, it's not even worth me voting. It's not even worth me doing, because I feel like I'm losing every time.
Yeah, let me tell you why it is worth voting. And let me tell you why this is important. I'll get Rick's comment on this, too. Let me tell you what I think this thing in D.C. is. The Washington case involving, quote, January 6th, which is going to be some kind of, it looks like, based on the letter that was sent to the president, what people are saying, it's going to be some kind of interference with congressional proceedings, which raises huge First Amendment issues. I mean, gigantic First Amendment issues. So we had the first president in American history that utilized social media, because that's, it really came into being in this kind of level in the last 10 years. So he uses social media, Rick. He's the president of the United States when he was tweeting and talking. He has a First Amendment right to do this. And what I want people to understand is, if you think that they do it to him, that they can't do it to you, guess again. And that's why when these issues mature, and I'm sure the lawyers are looking, I mean, I know how I would defend this case. In Washington, I'd be very aggressive on free speech, First Amendment, and this idea, if they try to do this like conspiracy issue, conspiracy to what? Engage in First Amendment activity? You don't get to do that. I think that's where some of this problem. Now, I haven't seen the indictment. I haven't seen the evidence. But from what I'm hearing, that's what I'm thinking. That's the case.
Look, I think every conservative understands that the media is against them. They read their local newspaper. They see the local news. And they just are perplexed that we have a media system that is only about one side. And so Republicans totally understand that. I think what the challenge is for independents. We need to be able to educate independents to say, look, if they're coming after Donald Trump and they're shutting them off social media, they're going to do it to you. And this is a regime that is really interested in working with big tech and big universities and big media to shut down dissenting information. And so that's, I think, the big challenge. But make no mistake, I'll say this again, first and second generation Americans are the most pro-Trump, pro-conservative people right now, because they have seen totalitarianism. They've seen what it's like to have a media that completely controls the narrative, and they're the canaries in the coal mine telling all of us, wake up, America. This is coming to a town near you.
Take John's call out of New York. We only got 2 minutes here, but John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, boy, appreciate you putting me on. Sure. President Trump's trickles. Nobody's talking about the actual evidence of the election steal in 2020. Not even you folks. I haven't heard you talk about it. Pennsylvania, over 300,000 votes cast to registered voters. Right here in New York State. News release.
Your question, John, I appreciate you calling in. First of all, I handled the Pennsylvania case at the Supreme Court of the United States and won. So we've talked about it. You're not winning an election by talking about 2020. Let's be practical. At this point in the game, you're not winning an election by talking about what happened in 2020. I think that's the fact.
Rick.
Yeah, Rick, go ahead.
Now, if I can add one more point to that, as Jay, you've consistently tried to tell people, look, we've got problems with elections. We've got to fix them. But the most important thing is you've got to go vote. You got to go vote early. So I think to John's point, you know, we're all frustrated. But we've got to look forward to be able to say we fixed the system. We all work together to fix the system, but you got to go flood the zone and vote.
I think Jordan brought this up yesterday. President Trump would not be running if he didn't think there was a chance he could win.
Correct.
So you know, if you think that the elections have no meaning, it's not correct. There would be no 2024 campaign if there wasn't a hope that you could win.
Exactly. Rick, we appreciate it. Again, folks, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We've got an email out today. I'm going to talk about it on the second half hour of the broadcast. Involving our cases, involving religious liberty and the successes we're having. But it doesn't happen without you. You donate any amount of money and we get a matching gift. What that means is this. You donate $50, we're getting another $50, becomes $100 for us. It's really important. We're in the last week of doing this, so it's very, very important. ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. We also encourage you to talk to us. We want to talk about all these issues. Talk about the presidential campaign, talk about religious liberty, questions you might have. Our phone lines are open.
Now, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Be right back, Mike Pompeo.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Boy, it's a jam-packed one. As we said, trial date set for the Trump trial in, this is the one in Florida, May 20th, 2024. Likely gets extended just in the nature of criminal cases. But joining us right now is our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. Mike, before we get into, I want to talk to you about what John Kerry's up to. While Rome's burning, they're trying to get climate agreements out of China. But I wanted to get your sense of kind of the weaponization issue right now. Because, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and I said this earlier, no matter what how one views the former president at this point, you can't not argue this is a pile-on. Now, you know, I haven't seen the indictment out of Washington, D.C. yet, maybe filed today. Raises serious First Amendment issues, I would think. But the fact that we've got the leading Republican candidate, at least right now, and that could change, of course, but being so targeted by all these different agencies, I just think putting all the politics aside is very dangerous for the Republic. I think we may have lost him. We'll come back, and we're going to come back on that in a minute, and we'll find out what it is. We got him now. There you go, Mike.
Yeah, no, Jay, it's very dangerous. I agree. Take the politics out. Take the noise down. You have the full force of the United States Department of Justice, the FBI, a special counsel's office working directly for the Attorney General, being used as a tool that will have an impact on the most important election that will be held next year in the world. That is a dangerous place for our republic to find itself. It's not about politics. It's about our institutions and our continued perception in the world that we are a democracy that allows voters to make their choices.
I know you've been traveling all over the world over the last couple of years and very recently. What is your sense that, what are you picking up on how we're being viewed right now? I specifically think about all of the progress you made under your administration when you were Secretary of State in the Middle East. And I feel like, and we have an off course on office in Jerusalem, but I feel like we've really taken a hit in the Middle East. But and again, it's a little bit me looking at it outside. You've been over, I haven't been over there in the last year. What's your sense?
Yeah, Jay, I've been over there a whole bunch these last 12, 14 months. Their perception is precisely yours, and they can feel it. Not only their leaders, but the people in those countries can feel it as well. They're less confident that the United States will have their back. That's certainly true, not only in Israel, where the ACLJ has done such glorious work, but in the Gulf states as well. They've lost the confidence that America is a force for good and prepared to do things that matter for the American people, to deliver outcomes that create peace and stability and prosperity in the region. They don't have confidence in President Biden and his team. They see them playing footsie with the Iranians, who today are arming the Russians, helping them kill Ukrainian kids, and it causes them to try to hedge their bets, and that is not a good thing and a good place for the United States to be.
So John Kerry, the climate czar, is over in negotiations with China on climate negotiations. First of all, what is the real? I mean, I understand he's appointed by the president to do this. Where does this end up? I mean, what does this accomplish?
Wow, Jay. Well, first of all, I think his meeting accomplished nothing. That may be generous. It may be worse than nothing, because it showed America looking weak, going over and essentially begging Xi Jinping to destroy his economy. Right. He's counting on using coal for the next decade, 15 years, and he's not about to destroy his economy to chase some climate change dream that we might have. And so for the United States to send Secretary Kerry over there to implore him to do better and to be rejected in its entirety is embarrassing for the United States. It is not leading from strength. And frankly, we made an ask that we almost certainly knew he'd have to reject. And somehow we send former Secretary Kerry back over there to do that, much like we sent him to Iran to try and cut a deal with the Iranians. Both were destined to fail. They were fool's errands, and America looks foolish as a result.
Can I, taking that step further with Iran, this is the great dilemma. So we almost, I think you were probably weeks away from getting the Saudis to sign on to the Abraham Accords. Now they're in cahoots, at least they're apparently, at least the outward appearance is that they're working with the Iranians because they're worried about the U.S., where we're going to come down on all of this. The fact that we've got this kind of jello policy in the Middle East that kind of you can move it any way you want is impacting our allies. And I think Saudi Arabia may be the biggest aspect of where that could be detrimental to the United States. Can it be corrected with a new administration? Can it turn around quickly?
100%. It absolutely can turn around quickly. What these countries simply need, and that would certainly be the Emiratis, the Saudis, the Bahrainis, the Kuwaitis, all of the Gulf Arab states, and our friend and partner in Israel, they just need to know that America is on firm footing and that we are their friend, their partner, their ally, diplomatically, as a defense and security matter, economically. When they see those things, and the next president can do that, you get this back pretty quickly, and we can begin to add more nations to the list of those who recognize the right of Israel as a nation to exist as the Jewish homeland. It would be an important thing for Israel, important thing for the Middle East, and really important for America as well, Jay.
You know, I want to change to domestic issues on the issue of religious freedom. The progress under the previous administration, the administration you were such an active part of as Secretary of State, on religious liberty was incredible. And I think about the offices that were set up in the agencies to have conscience rights protected. And they had oversight in the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to make sure that medical professionals were not being coerced or compelled to participate in abortion procedures and similar activities. And there were whole departments set up for this. And now there is talk that the Biden administration could roll that back even in the next 2 weeks. That's how this is far, and those were major gains for religious freedom.
Jay, you're so right, and it was hard work to get the institutions. You know, you've worked with the State Department bureaucrats, and you've seen these people. You've done remarkable work, you and the ACLJ, to get them to a better place. We had made that progress. It's now been nearly obliterated. But here's the good news. Much like when we were talking earlier, this can be fixed too. Regrounding America in the basic traditions of freedom and religious liberty and the First Amendment, all the things the ACLJ works on, the right set of leaders, the right people appointed to various positions in the next administration can get that all back relatively quickly because we have proven that it can be done.
We appreciate it. Mike, thanks you for your insight. Thanks for being part of our team, and we appreciate your comments. Folks, this is a perfect example. And Logan, I got to say this, we just had in back-to-back two members of the cabinet are part of our team at the ACLJ. You helped launch the campaign a few years ago, Now More Than Ever, which was the announcement of Rick Grenell and, of course, Mike Pompeo. You've added to that team for broadcast purposes on commentary, Tulsi Gabbard.
Yep.
So we keep expanding this realm of information that we can provide to folks. And this is why supporting the work of the ACLJ is so critical. You're not getting this kind of analysis anywhere else. And then we don't just have analysis, we actually take action.
Right. The legal work is happening ongoing as the day goes on. It's not just this 1 hour broadcast each and every day. There is so much work that's happening beyond the camera, whether that is in the world of the law, whether that's on Capitol Hill, or whether that is in media. So we are everywhere, and we want you to be a part of that as well. You can be a part. Be an ACLJ member. Do it today, as we are in the middle of our matching challenge. All you need to do is go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Make a donation today. Any donation is effectively double. There's another person, another donor who has pledged to unlock their gift if you donate today. So just go to ACLJ.org, not only to donate, which obviously we really appreciate, but check out the incredible content and resources that we provide. Tons of free resources, tons of great, amazing media content, movies, documentaries, obviously the daily broadcast, and so much more. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with the second half hour of Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, what a first half hour we had. We were joined by Rick Rennell. We're talking about the whistleblowers, and I was saying that the ACLJ getting involved in defending these whistleblowers. More on that next week. These are complicated cases. These people's careers are on the line. Their livelihoods are on the line. Your American Center for Law and Justice is going to stand with them. And we couldn't do that without you. That's number one. Then we talked about, we filed a brief at the Supreme Court of the United States. I'll put it up on the screen for everybody to see. This is attacking the administrative state. I call it the sub-government, because there's a doctrine of law called the Chevron Doctrine, named after a case where the government just, basically, if an agency says it, it's deference to the agency, and the fact that the law may be contrary really doesn't matter. We said that needs to go there. I think there's a majority of the Supreme Court that's going to agree with us on that. We talked about the religious liberty issues with Mike Pompeo, as well as what's going on globally. But I want to take, and as we start this broadcast out, we also announced that the trial date has been set for President Trump on May 20th as it relates to the Mar-a-Lago case, the documents case. There could be an indictment as early as today out of Washington, D.C. on the January 6th issues. So all of that's happening simultaneously. So again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. And I thought in this first segment here, Logan, we would try to get a call or two in right away.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's just go in the order they came in. We'll start with Guy, who's calling in Florida, who's watching on Rumble. Guy, you're on the air.
Hi, Guy.
Gentlemen, first let me thank you for letting me speak on your program, and also for all that you do for us.
Thank you.
My question is this. There have been some legal opinions I have heard which says Judge Cannon, who is a Trump appointee, she is an appointee, she was not elected, which means she doesn't have any fear of any reprisals because there's nothing they can do to her.
Right, lifetime appointments, right.
Exactly. Right. And that she has could have the authority to because her suit that she's handling is a federal suit.
Yeah.
Federal suits trump state suits. And I don't mean Trump and Donald Trump.
No,
I mean
you're
Trump.
Talking about the Supreme. Well, so normally that comes out in the. So is the question, can she kind of stop a state court proceeding? Is that what you're asking?
Well, my understanding is that she could put a pause on all of those use election interference as the rationale that she puts the pause on it
she
for.
There's some confusion on that, and it's a great question, and Guy, I'm glad you called. She can't. So she cannot. Now, there's the Supremacy Clause issue, which is when you've got a conflict between state law and federal law. Federal law, Supreme Court says, and the Constitution says, is supreme. That's the law of the land. But these aren't. This isn't legislation. She can't stop another court. She has no jurisdiction to enter an order, let's say, for Georgia and saying you can't proceed with your case because you're a state case. So what you're having is, and I talked about this with Mike Pompeo just moments ago, you've got the full force of federal and some state governments, and some of it's just on the county level, New York County, Fulton County, coming against the leading candidate on the Republican side of this. And it sure looks like election interference. The question is, are they going to try to do a takeout? And what do I mean by a takeout? Will they allege insurrection, which will disqualify Donald Trump from running for office? And can that get to trial before the election or even before the primaries or even before the convention when a nominee is selected? That's going to be the big question in all of this, Logan. That's the thing that could really be the impact here.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, we will be taking more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Well, we only got a minute left in this segment. We'll take them in the next segment. So 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We'll keep going over. If you're on hold right now, Randy or Bill or some of the others, stay on hold. We'll get to you. Again, we only got about 45 seconds left in this segment. I'm going to tell you again, we are in the middle of that matching challenge, and you've heard me say it now a couple times, but I really think you should. But what I'm going to tell you this time, sure, obviously go support. That's great. Go to the website. Go to our social media platforms. Look at all the content we're providing. And a lot of that content is provided for no cost, including legal help. So if you need a lawyer and it's within our scope, all you have to do is go to ACLJ.org, click Get Legal Help, and you're attached immediately to a lawyer at absolutely no cost. We can't do that, obviously, without the support. of our ACLJ members. So you can go become a member, but also look at the services we're providing, not just a daily broadcast, not just incredible media operation, but work for you and obviously representing you. Again, go to ACLJ.org. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Hey, if you just missed the segment, if you're on radio, you did because you probably heard commercials. We have on our social media feeds, we have special videos that our teams put together. One of those just included one of the whistleblowers. Was one of the IRS, the Democrat that was a whistleblower, who interviewed with our friend Catherine Herridge, used to be at Fox, is now at CBS doing great work. And CBS ran the piece in an interview, and it's great. And as I said, we're next week, I hope we can announce, or certainly by the week after, Logan, that we are stepping in on these whistleblower cases in a big way.
Yeah, we are working on a new project right now. As soon as we're out there,
real help.
Yep. So we'll get you that as soon as we can. But let's first go ahead and take your calls and go straight to you. Again, you can give us a call. A couple lines are open. It's a great time to call at 1-800-684-3110. Randy's calling from Ohio on line one. Randy, welcome.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, how you doing? Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First, I would like to tell you that I am solid behind Donald Trump. And then my question is, what kind of evidence must he have against them? All of my 61 years, I've never seen something like what's going on now.
Well, I haven't seen anything like this either. And I just asked, Rick Grenell, who's our senior advisor, and Mike Pompeo, our senior counsel, because this is weaponization. I mean, to try to take out the leading Republican candidate. And I mean, if you look at this, it's clear that's what it is. Now, having said that, I don't know what the evidence is because we don't get to see all the evidence. You see in the indictments what they've laid out. You kind of have an idea what happened in the Mar-a-Lago case. We don't know yet what is going to happen in this indictment in Washington, which could, I mean, you're listening to us, probably a lot of you would listen to us live noon East Coast, maybe seeing his tape delayed, hearing his tape delayed, or you're getting the second half hour in the evening on the West Coast, which happens a lot. So there may have been an indictment that comes down already. It could come down as early as today. Having said that, look, I think the politicalization of this and the weaponization of these agencies is dangerous. And what are they afraid of? The guy was dismantling the administrative state. And by the way, the American Center for Law and Justice is continuing that dismantling of the administrative state. And we're doing it at the Supreme Court of the United States with a brief we just filed in a case that deals with what's called the Chevron Doctrine, which is the decision of the court a number of years ago that gave the agencies all this discretion, all these government agencies' discretion, basically to override laws passed by Congress. It's outrageous. So here's the brief filed by the American Center for Law and Justice, and as I said, folks, to the Supreme Court of the United States. So we're not just talking about it and giving you information here. We're doing the work. And that's why your support of the ACLJ is so vitally critical, especially in these matching challenge months. ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for. We encourage you to do that today. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. What is your reaction now to a pending indictment coming down against the former president? How do you see this playing politically? We want to hear from you on this. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Bill in Virginia on line five. Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Can you hear me okay?
We hear you great.
Great. I just want to ask you to revise a recommendation you made earlier. Great program, by the way.
Thank you.
But you recommended that someone go to the polls early. And I would ask you to revise that. I asked them to not only go to the polls early, but to get their friends and colleagues,
yes,
people in folks' homes, rest homes, hospitals, wherever they are,
yeah,
Christian trips, get them to go to the polls early too. So you gotta find a way to legally collect,
yes,
signatures and votes from other people and to be able to do it professionally and legally.
You're talking about ballot, yeah, harvesting as well.
Yeah, in certain
which
states.
Which in some states is legal.
Yeah, Bill, I think you're right. We've kind of said this is, you got to start using all the tools that are available to you. None of this, we only vote on election day, we only wait. You got to stop that because you're not going to win. You got to use every tool that you can necessary. We actually have an interesting bite that we should play from CNN where they discussed this and discussed how the conservatives are starting to maybe embrace it, but what they could do. Just take a listen. This is what's coming from CNN. See if this motivates you.
people in the RNC are trying to, they're rolling out an early voting program. They believe that the Democrats are better at early voting than they are.
It's one thing to say, I wish we would go back to the pre-pandemic way we did elections, where there was less early voting, less absentee voting. But there's also the reality that we're in, which is that mail-in voting, early voting, absentee voting, these have been expanded, and that is largely here to stay. And so you have to run in the world that exists. You have to run an election in reality. And if Republicans bail on early voting, they bail on absentee voting, where in some states like Florida, they have actually had advantages for a while, they are leaving votes on the table. It is tactically disastrous
Do not listen to this woman, Republicans. Listen to Donald Trump. Don't vote early. Please be quiet. So one time I agree with Donald Trump. Republicans don't vote early.
Here's the problem.
Obviously, he was saying that as a joke.
Of course, it's a joke. The fact is, the Democrats are very good at utilizing the system, whether it's ballot harvesting where legal, whether it is early voting. And we've had, and you had Republicans saying, we're voting election day. We want paper ballots.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Not that you can't vote on election day. Of course you can. But a lot of things can happen on election day.
Yeah. Weather.
Weather. Problems. I mean, if they allow voting early, I encourage you to do it. Now, let me tell you something else. A lot of voting can take place a month before the election, which means the messaging of the candidates that month before becomes critical because voting has started. So we've got to start thinking that way to move this forward. Especially, and that's that critical.
Especially when you start thinking about the fact that both potentially right now the front runners could be in legal messes that are happening during the main campaign, whether that's President Trump or at least, I mean, Biden's a little different because he would be the current sitting president, but the Biden family.
100%. I mean, they're supposed, you know, next week they're supposed to see if the plea gets accepted or not. All right, we're taking your calls. I'm going to take calls in the next segment, too. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take one more of this one, though.
All right, Tim is calling in Iowa on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Tim.
Hi there. I've got a question in regard to the investigation of Biden's family and all the corruption that's going on there. I'm just amazed that we're not getting more coverage from the media. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be amazed, but it is just so blatant, and especially where they show that $5 million went to Hunter, and then $5 million also went to Joe Biden. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, can't we get a special counsel to really have some justice here?
Well, look, number one, a special counsel is appointed by the Department of Justice. Individuals, we can't petition for a special counsel. So that would be the Department of Justice. They do have a special counsel investigating Joe Biden's handling of classified documents. As it relates to the situation with his son, Hunter Biden. First of all, sitting president, by the way, cannot be indicted. We argued that successfully for President Trump. It applies to every president. You cannot indict a sitting president because of separation of powers. That would be the executive indicting the executive. So you can't indict a sitting president. And once they're out of office, as you have seen with President Trump, the full force of government can come against you. And in Trump's case, it is precisely what's happened. As it relates to the Hunter Biden matter, that matter has been investigated. It was investigated by a Trump appointee. There's some question about what kind of parameters he was given. We'll find that out. But that plea that was negotiated by a very good lawyer, Abby Lowell, one of the best lawyers in Washington, D.C., will either be accepted or rejected by the court next week. I suspect it's going to be accepted. And that probably ends most of this. So you know what you got to do? We got to focus on the future. I'm not saying it's not important to get the information out, but we got to focus on the future. We got to go to the Supreme Court and beat them back like we have. We've got to file Freedom of Information Act requests where we find out what the government's doing, why they have done certain things, why they have eliminated certain notices, and then we get the answers to that, and then we bring that to the American people or to Capitol Hill and get a response. That's how we win. We've got to stay engaged. We've got to fight, and we have to look forward.
Yeah, phone lines are jamming up right now, but keep calling because some of these won't make it through or the connections are bad. So give us a call. If you're getting a busy signal, just keep calling 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Let me take a moment here as we get ready to go on a break, and we do want to take your calls, as Logan said, at 800-684-3110. But let me say this, folks. Your support of the ACLJ, I'm looking at all the work that we're doing. We're very close to announcing a major whistleblower defense for a series of people. These whistleblowers, by the way, you see their testimony for 3 hours. That's one thing. But let me tell you something more than their testimony for 3 hours. And Logan, these people need to understand their lives have changed. Some of them are being fired. Some of these FBI agents have been suspended without pay and they can't take any outside income. So their families are in jeopardy. and your American Center for Law and Justice is going to link arms with other lawyers that are doing a great job but are running out of manpower because there's so many of them. And we're about to announce something on that in the next week or 10 days. But I was on that, as you know, Logan, I was on that call this morning with some of our senior lawyers and some of our counsel lawyers that want to get involved in this on a high level.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot to announce here soon, so make sure you stay tuned. As we start wrapping up this matching challenge for the month of July, there's going to be a lot more to be announced later in this year, whether that is in the next coming weeks or whether it is in the coming months. There's a lot going on for this back half of the year. We could use your support. Go to ACLJ.org. There is one line right now open, but there'll be some more. Call us, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to get you on the air. We'll take as many calls as we possibly can coming up in this next segment. Again, if you're watching online, this is a great time to do it and give us a call. Last time of the week, you'll have the chance to get on the air. So we'd love to hear from you. Also, of course, go to ACLJ.org. Check out the matching challenge. Another donor ready there. Group of donors ready to unlock their match. So if you give $10, it becomes $20. If you give $1,000, it becomes $2,000. So on and so on. We really appreciate it. Anywhere in between, above or below, whatever you can do really helps us out and keeps this conversation going, not just at the Washington, D.C., not just in the court, but in the media as well. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Everybody, we have breaking news, and I want to go through this very carefully. This is a big, big deal. So if you're listening, share this feed with your friends right now. If you're on our social media, if you're listening on radio, text your friends, tell them to tune in. Fulton County judge, the senior judge, has now recused the entire Fulton County bench. This is the Georgia district attorney in Fulton County who is bringing this indictment for state RICO charges, apparently.
We need to explain more what that is. I think people don't
know. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think for you, explain what case we're talking about, what we're even referring to, because I don't know if people even know.
So the Fulton County district attorney.
This is in Atlanta.
Atlanta,
Georgia.
This is the Georgia case.
Georgia case.
Yeah, and they were going to bring a state racketeering influence and corrupt organization case against Donald Trump. This was the Fannie Willis case where they were going to bring this massive indictment with supposedly a lot of parties, like 25 or 30 individuals as defendants. And there has been motions filed by the former president's lawyers, some of which I know well, saying that the judges that are hearing the case should not be allowed to proceed on those because of either bias or it's the county and there's these conflicts. Today, and evidently this was an order signed last night but not released to this morning, the Fulton County Superior Court Judge Glanville ruled that all active judges, this is unreal, folks, all active judges of Fulton County Superior Court bench will be recused from the civil lawsuits filed by Trump's lawyers against Fannie Willis and Judge McBurney. Now, the civil lawsuits that were filed were these lawsuits to say you should not be bringing these proceedings. The irregularities. Remember that special grand jury and the foreperson that went to all the media? She was on the media everywhere. It's all of that. So this is a big, big decision. It also is the Fulton County judges have recused all of the Fulton County judges from any attempts to engage in the election probe grand jury from 2020 cannot be overseen by Fulton County judges. Big news, just breaking now.
Yeah, I think people are going to start seeing that start showing up on their news right now.
Yeah, Willis is starting to get coverage.
It is probably more within it's a very nuanced thing. Even today, when we were talking about the trial dates, this is the kind of broadcast you tune in to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, Fox News, to be honest, right now is covering shark attacks. And the sharks are eating drugs in the ocean right now.
Okay,
not exactly covering the real news that matters in somewhat. A lot of our friends at Fox, but like you'd think they'd break in at this point about this kind of topic,
but they're not.
But they're not. So this is something that's probably breaking more on Twitter and on social media.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Yeah. We'll try to get to all of them here.
Yeah, we will do our best. No guarantees. Let's just go in order. Let's go, Barbara, Utah, line 3, watching on YouTube. You're up. Barbara, are you there?
Thank you. Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if there's some way that we can bring the DOJ and the FBI up on election interference charges.
So I think as part of the defense that the president can put forward, and I said if I was defending the Washington case, I would defend And I would raise First Amendment issues, and I would raise election interference issues as this matter progresses. So you can't, as an individual citizen, bring that kind of charge. But the president's lawyers in Washington, D.C., and he's got some good ones, can bring that charge. And I suspect that's what I would do, especially as an appellate lawyer. I would make sure that was all what we call preserved, so that the First Amendment issues can be preserved in case the case goes the wrong way and you go on appeal.
All right, let's continue on and take as many calls as we can because we're running low on time. Warren's calling on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Warren.
Hey, thanks for taking my calls, guys. You know, my comment is that if we don't win this election, we are literally voting for the soul of the nation. And if we lose this, they are coming after us, like you said, with the full force. And most of us can't afford lawyers like Trump can.
Well, you're right. And this is the one reason why on these whistleblowers, we were concerned, because we know what's at stake for them and their families. And these people could lose their jobs. Some of them have. They could lose their livelihood. They lose their security clearance. So they can't go to private industry because they don't have a security clearance. So we've been talking with some of the lawyers that are handling these cases, and we're about to. And I brought in some of the lawyers we work with on other cases. This will be a big project of the ACLJ's. Like I said, we're probably a week to 10 days from announcing it. Logan keeps putting his hand up. Don't announce it yet.
You don't want to blow it. Okay? No. That's why we don't talk about things before air. You got to talk about these things.
But people are concerned about it, and that's why I'm saying we're looking at it very deeply right now.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Dave in Ohio. Listen on radio. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I don't think mail-in ballots are the answer. I think that the problem is the Democrats are way ahead of us on this, and they send out so many fake. Now, they're not fake. They've got maybe the right addresses, and maybe they're real people, but they send out these mail-in ballots to parking lots. They send them out to churches. They send them out to places where no one's there to actually vote. They gather these up, and the way they manipulate it, they've got as much as 15% of the vote before the vote ever takes place. And they've got it in hand to use whenever they need those.
Dave, here's what we're saying. If the state allows mail-in ballots, people should do mail-in ballots. If the state allows what you just mentioned, harvesting of ballots, in other words, you can go pick up other people's ballots, bring them over to the polling place, or drop them into a drop box. If that's what the law allows in that state, do it. Because if we don't do that, I think we're so far behind the eight ball by election day, where a third or 40 or 50% of the vote is already in. We're so far behind, we can never catch up. And that's what you saw happen on election night.
Yep. All right. Let's continue on. Kevin, Maryland, line two, you're on.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey there. Hey, guys. Yep. How you doing?
Yes.
Hey, so I'm sitting here thinking, I think we should send in or mail in ballots, right? If your state allows it, send them ballots in. And then, see, the thing is, Republicans don't trust the mail-in ballot system, right? So if we were to send our early votes in and then come election day, go ahead and vote. Go up, because when you put in your paper ballot...
That's a crime. That's a crime, Kevin.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, because if you do that, and some people try to do that, by the way.
Of course.
That is a crime. So do not do that.
Yeah, we're not encouraging...
You vote once. It's not... But
we're not also talking about mail-in voting.
Well, it's part
exclusively,
of it.
But we're also talking about early voting, which in a lot of places, early voting is just at your polling place.
It's
just
open for a month. You know, a month before. And laws are changing in states significantly. For now, like, for instance, in Tennessee, you could go to any polling place. You don't have to go
any
to the one. No, but they used to have, you have to go to the one precinct. They don't do that anymore in Tennessee. Yeah. So the laws are becoming more flexible as the technology is getting better. All we're saying is, if they have early voting, utilize it. If you need to do mail-in ballot, use it. That's part of this process. Can we grab this last call?
Kathy in Kentucky, you got like 20 seconds. Go ahead,
Kathy.
Thank you. You just answered one of my questions. But I see the left criticizing the right with exactly the things that they are guilty of. And I've never, like you, I've never seen this kind of thing in our country.
And that's why voting is and very, very important in participating in the electoral process. That's why the work of the American Center for Law and Justice is so important, so we can engage these issues on your behalf, on your family's behalf, on your kids' and grandchildren's behalf. We're here for you. But this requires action. And part of the action here is, you see this broadcast every day, you support the work of the ACLJ, you help to pay for this broadcast. You see the work of the ACLJ, as I said, at the Supreme Court of the United States. Your support of the ACLJ makes that happen. We can't do it without you. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Logan's going to tell you what you need to do right now. We encourage you to do it.
Very simple. Just go to ACLJ.org, make any donation, and it's effectively doubled. Another great donor, a group of donors, is ready to open up their match. All you got to do is make a donation today during this matching challenge, and your donation is effectively doubled. Your impact, more importantly, is doubled. Go to ACLJ.org. We're back next week on Seculo. Make sure you tell your friends, follow us on all social media platforms. We'll see you Monday.